Morning Blog Radio listeners.
Love Talk Radio.
Morning. The Morning to the Mansion, the men's edition. It's November 4th, 2019.
Good morning,
so
Ron.
Check your calendar. Thank you. All right.
Well, my brother,
Yeah, I got to watch it.
Yeah, I
got
kicked off. But,
you got kicked off?
Right. Good morning. Anthony Magazine, 11421 the house. Good morning. We got a, it's a blessing to be here today. Beautiful day out here in Antigo Bay, Texas. It's probably about 70 something degrees.
It will
be. Yeah.
Not yet.
It's
it will
nice
be.
Day and, you know, here it is. Well, we got about another 21 days till Christmas.
Who's counting?
Christmas.
Well, is it 61?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. There's already people putting Christmas decorations up. So it's a sign of the times, the season.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they do.
So, you know, you better get right. Forget about Thanksgiving. We're going to transform.
What's going on, David? Good
Christmas.
Morning, David Martinez.
Yeah. All right.
And,
down
in the Houston area.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it's the day the Lord has given us, Bobby, so we're going to be rejoicing. Glad you're
yeah.
on.
Woo!
Hey, you know, yesterday we were at church, and we were there was a song we were worshiping to, and it was Victory and the Blood. You remember that?
The blood covers me.
It is our victory.
Yeah, the blood.
And I was sitting there thinking, man, victory. Okay, it's football season, right?
Yeah.
So in a football game, when you have victory, everybody stands up and cheers, and they're all fired up. We have victory, right? Victory in the blood.
Yeah.
So how much more should we be cheering?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Come on down, Pastor. You're about to break
that. No, it's victory, it's already been won. We just got it's like if the Super Bowl's already won, we just gotta go claim the ring.
Yeah.
But a lot of us don't go up there to the podium and get the ring. We're still fighting.
Yeah.
We're still fighting to compete. When there's nothing to compete for, it's already been done. When Jesus said it's finished, it was finished.
Yeah.
So here it is. So what are we going to do about it? We're going to walk in partial victory? That's on us, man.
Well,
God didn't, God didn't tell us to half-step it.
Right.
Come on now. A lot of people doing a half-step. You know, half-stepping it with the Texas two-step when God said take four steps, you know? This ain't the hokey-pokey. One foot in, one foot out. We're all in or all out. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning. Sure. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, put your right attitude in, but people put their left attitude in. Kinju Abraham, tell us where you're calling, where you're watching from. Good morning.
Oh, good afternoon, maybe.
Good morning, Diana Argox, watching guest. Good morning. Technical difficulties this morning, but again, it's a beautiful day. It's Monday. Woo, the coffee's good, and we got a great topic. I'm real excited about it, Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's thank you, Lord. Because
what's the topic?
Okay, it's what seems right to us isn't always right with God. That's the title. Yeah,
that's right.
But the thing is, look, here's the thing: we think, and again, this comes part of the renewing of the mind. It goes into taking every thought captive, where we've got some preconceived
ideas.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's the thing. We got stuck up. Yeah. Thank you. That's why I got to you, Bobby. Any help? I'm still waiting for that coffee to kick in. It's Colombian. Anyone watch from Colombia, let me know. I got some coffee right here. Yeah. So this one is called Faithful. Faithful. Tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, Janice. That's my aunt.
Mm. So the thing is, we sometimes, again, it's not how much we learn right away. A lot of times, it's not doing what we forget. Right? And what we don't do more than what we do. You know, so that's the thing. There's a lot of times, like, when I was coming in, there was things that I wasn't sure of. And I thought it was right, but it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And I took the word of God to correct me, line
yeah.
me up with the things, you know?
Well, that's why we get so polluted, you know, with the things of this world that we Ooh. Have to. That's why the Bible says to renew your mind.
Yeah,
you know, we have to renew. That word renew means to bring back to its original state. And when you think about it, like Adam, you know, God had Adam naming all the animals. I mean, can you imagine naming all the animals? And his mind was just, you know, it was perfect. And so now we get to renew our mind, so we convert it back to our original state. Now we have the mind.
That word renew in the Greek, it's metamorpho. And that word metamorpho truly means and it's used twice in the Bible. It's used the second time when it's speaking of the transfiguration.
Yeah.
It's also used. So it's a supernatural transformation. It's something that takes place when you accept Christ and you walk in it. You have to walk in it. You know. So this is something that it's a supernatural transformation, but it's also a work in progress as well.
Yeah, because our spirit, when we're born again, our spirit is made perfect. We're a brand new creation, but our mind has to be renewed.
Yeah, our mind
by the word of
renewed.
God. Hi, Renee. Yes.
Good morning. The thing is, it's like getting into a car with no gas. What good is that? You need to renew the mind. It's either you need a car and gasoline. You can't just have gasoline with no car, and you can't have a car with no gasoline. It's not going to work like that. There's two things that work together, and they must work together, you know?
Yeah.
And one without the other is no good. So we need to be the renewing of the mind. And again, I want to talk about it because everyone believes. Everybody believes. It says every tongue will confess and every knee shall bow. But to believe is just not enough. Because even the devil and the demons believe that Jesus is Lord. We have to be a disciple. We have to be a follower. We can't be a leader. We can't lead Christ. We have to be a follower. And that's what we're talking about today. A lot of people think they're going to start leading Christ their way. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through the Son. There's one way and one path to salvation, to heaven. There's two paths, but there's one way to heaven. So we're going to get into that. Let's just start talking about the topic, Bobby, because we got
Christ.
Yeah. Father in heaven, holy is your name. We thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, because it's a privilege and an honor to serve you, Lord. And we don't make any two ways about it, Lord. It's not a burden, Lord, because your burden is life. And then you give us the desires of the heart. We pray, Lord, that the people that are watching, you anoint the words that come from myself and Pastor Bobby's mouth, that it's not all words, that we suppress ourselves, that you may be seen in us, Lord. Not what we could do for you, but it's what we could do, what you could do through us. And, Lord, I pray that everyone watching will come to know you better, that their hearts will be softened, the ears will be open, the eyes will be, the veil will be ripped from their eyes. And I pray, Lord, that your kingdom come and your will shall be done. In Jesus' name today we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. All right, so here it is. All right, so here it is. I want this first scripture. This is something I want you to get a hold of. And open and I'll just read this topic. I guess I'm going to this need to be the next one. Is that there?
Yeah.
All right. So here it is. In Proverbs 14, it tells us in verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So there's a way or a path that seems right to man and women, if you women are watching, that seems right, but its way is death. So here's the thing: we have to take this seriously because this is a warning or a wake up. Where not everything we think is right, because sometimes our preconceived notions or our thought process, when it's not renewed, will lead us astray.
Yeah.
You know,
God said in Isaiah, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways.
Absolutely.
And we need to get a hold of that God's ways are higher than our ways, and we need to go with his ways and not our own.
Let me tell you something. I mean, I know this from experience. When I first got, saved and I was following the Lord, it's not intentional. We make mistakes not trying, We know the right from wrong, but we're doing things and we think we're doing God a favor. But then as we get more mature and our mind gets renewed and our spirit matures and we get more versed in the Word and have come to the knowledge of the truth, we realize, all right, maybe that wasn't exactly what I should have been doing,
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So we have to always be ready to check ourselves. And not only check ourselves, but when we see something that we can improve on or we know that we're doing something wrong, maybe we didn't mean to do it, but we have to be ready to reroute.
Yeah, and that process that you're talking about, the Bible says that we are to desire the pure milk of the Word that we may grow thereby.
Yeah.
So when we're born again, we crave that milk just like a newborn baby would. But
yeah.
Then we grow, and then all of a sudden we crave that meat. We crave that steak, and then when we get that meat is what changes us even more from glory to glory, because the Word of God is what's going to transform us and renew our mind.
Yeah, sure. And we have to stay close to Jesus. Again, we need to follow Jesus, not trying to lead him. We'll get into that. But here's the thing. So This is what I want you to understand. There's a way or a path that seems right to a man, but it ends the way of death. So we have to be considerate. So if you think you're driving
faster, Eric,
you think you're driving on the right road, and you don't even know, but up ahead there's a big cliff and the bridge is out. You know what I mean? You're heading for death. You want to know. So there's always more than one way to go. God gives us at least two choices, and that's all there really is. But here's what it tells us in Galatians, chapter 6, verses 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing. And if we don't give up, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. So Galatians right here is talking about don't be misled. So here it is. Here's another call to us to be alert, to be diligent, to not be misled. So if Paul's warning the Galatian church to not be misled, guess what? We can be misled, right? He wouldn't put up a warning. Don't be misled if there's not. They wouldn't put up a slippery when wet sign on the road if it wasn't slippery when it's wet.
Yeah, and it was like you were talking about, if the bridge is out, you know, they're going to have road signs that tell you that the bridge is out.
Yeah.
And God gives us warnings in His Word. It's like, you know, Paul's saying right here, I've got the new King James, but it says, for he who sows to his flesh will also reap of the flesh corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. And Paul also said that we should worship God in the Spirit. This is in Philippians 3, that we should worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh.
No.
I mean, no confidence in our own accomplishments. And Paul, I mean, this guy was, if you want to go by worldly standards, he was, he had it all. I mean, Hebrew of Hebrews, you know, just all this accomplishments that he did in the flesh. But he said that he counted that all as nothing, as dung. That's because the flesh will reap corruption.
Well, don't be misled is, you know, right there, that's a bold statement. That's something that would, when I read in the Bible, I immediately focus in on what it says, don't be molested by. Because we're going to be misled. But those, here it is, if we don't give up, okay? So let's not grow tired of doing what's good. Let's not lose heart, basically. Let's not lose faith, okay? Don't go tired of doing what is good. We got to constantly be doing it. So we can't go by feeling. We have to go by the Word of God. So whenever we have an opportunity, take advantage of what it's saying. So don't grow tired. And if we stay in the things of God, chances are we're not going to be misled. We have to be careful, you know. God's forever. His plan for salvation is forever. And it says, you should not mock the justice of God. That's His plan. Okay, we can't mock His plan, turn our nose against it, or turn away from it. We need to follow in it. And if we're gonna be fooled by our own plans, because some of us right here, including myself, when I first got started, I said, ooh, all right. You know God's sovereign. He's full of love and grace. But guess what? He's also full of righteousness and holiness. And there's a standard that we need to walk in. Don't get it mixed up. There's a lane we need to stay in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's rules to adhere to.
There's path. You know, I mean, Jesus said that the wide gate leads to destruction, and many will go that way. And that's the way of the world. Many people are going the way of the world and going on their own, doing what they want to do, having confidence in their own flesh, and they get puffed up with pride. And the Bible says that God resists the proud. You know, He gives grace to the humble, though, which is cool, because that grace is what empowers us to walk in His ways.
Yeah.
And that grace is what empowers us to understand that His ways are higher than our ways. And, you know, it could almost be a selfishness when you really realize that His ways are higher than ours, and when we walk in His ways, we're going to get what He wants us to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always better.
Good morning, brother. Glenn Bianco, he's out in Vegas. Buddy, I grew up with him. I've known him since I was like 5 or 6. 11421, Glenn. Strong. All right, so here's the thing. We just need to know that we need to really come to ourselves and check ourselves, because we might think something's right, but it's not. If we're not being in fellowship, the first mistake we'll make is that we don't need to be in fellowship with other Christians.
Yeah.
Oh, because we're bigger and better. Sometimes that pride, the devil, He's going to come in with some pride. He's going, ooh, God called me.
You know,
me.
In the New King James, where it says, don't be misled, it says, do not be deceived. And
yes,
and the definition of being deceived is you don't know you're deceived. And I'm telling you, people who think, well, just because, you know, I don't have to go to church. I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. The Bible says, do not forsake yourself from assembling together with other believers, especially as you see the day approaching. And that word day is capitalized. It's talking about the day that's approaching. And if you look around you, you can see that the day is approaching. You better get in with the flock. I'm telling you. I heard Robert Morris one time did a teaching, and he was talking about how that the wolf is out there and looking at the herd of sheep, and that one, he's just waiting. And then the one that gets away from the flock, that's the one he pounces on. So, man, get up. And he did something that was really funny, but he said with him, he's just going to scoot right in the middle.
And that's the premise of the entire Bible. We'll talk about reaping and sowing. It says you want to get your – see, we have responsibility is what it's saying. When we reap, if we don't reap, we don't sow. Or we don't sow, we don't reap, rather.
Well, you said something Saturday night that, man, I mean, I've believed this ever since I've been a Christian. But you said it while you were preaching Saturday night at the prison. You said – that you get out of it what you put in it.
Well, that's really
and people, they don't want to think about it like that. They want to think it's all about grace, you know. But I'm telling you, you get out of it what you put in it.
Well, yeah, that's
simple.
That's even in the world. So get it. You know, if you don't show up to work 2 Mondays in a row, chance are you going to get fired. You know what I mean? If you keep going to work and you do the overtime, you're going to get paid for it. You'll be compensated. And it's no different in the kingdom. We will be compensated. If we are sowing much seed, seeds of righteousness, because here it is, says, those who live to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death. So if we, a seed, God created every seed to produce its like kind. So an apple tree, if you go plant an apple seed, don't expect coconuts, okay, or bananas. You're going to plant apple seeds, you're going to get apples. You're going to plant banana seeds. You're going to plant corruption and destruction and feed this flesh, because this flesh is dying. It's going back into the dust. The spirit lasts forever. So you're going to feed your flesh with things that are passing away anyway. So guess what? You're going to reap death in the end. Your flesh is going to die and everything you put into it will die. But if you sow and put the time into the spirit, you will reap everlasting life. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and you know when Paul was talking about in Philippians that have no confidence in the flesh? Well, Paul, you know, we just talked about how Paul was like in the flesh, he had everything. You know, he was a you know, just a mighty powerful man, man in the religious sector. But Paul had no accomplishment. And what happened with Paul is he saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. He had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ. And if you're putting all your confidence in yourself or all your confidence in the accomplishments of the world, you might not have had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Because when you do, I mean, the Bible says, that you become a new creation. The old life is dead. Behold, all things have become new. And then in verse 18 of that, it says, now all things are of God. Now all things are of God. You have a desire for the things of God once you're born again, when you have an encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ.
All right, so we're going to move on, I guess, Bobby. We're going to go on to 2 Timothy.
Yeah. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. That's their accomplishments. And love pleasure rather than loving God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. You know, we're supposed to die for ourselves, and the power to be godly is the power to deny ourselves. You know, a lot of times when I first read that, I was thinking of you know, and I'm not going to get in any religion, but some religions or some denominations who deny the power of the Holy Spirit, I was thinking of that. But I'm telling you, they're spirit-filled people who don't deny themselves, and they're denying the power, because the power to be godly is the power to deny yourself. You can't deny yourself. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the human nature was to be self sufficient. You know, look out for number one. You know, the you know what I'm saying, that, you know, just looking out for yourself.
Well, yeah.
But the power of the Holy Spirit lets you have the power to deny yourself and to follow Christ and to pick up yourself. And this part right here, though, that gets me is when it says that people will love themselves. And you got, man, I'm telling you, the selfies out there in this world, people who are spirit-filled or you know, other denominations, the selfies, man, we have to be careful. Pastor Eric talked about this yesterday, that it's a snare of the devil. I'm telling you, if this is me included, but the number one addiction in the world is our phone.
That's it.
I'm telling you, I don't have statistics to back that up, but I'm telling you, the number one addiction in this world is our phones.
Well, here it is, man. When it is, you're gonna. These are the fruits. When we talk about what you sow, remember, a seed will produce like kind. So this is evident right here of the things that, again, you know, everyone understands this. Listen, we'll read it, right? Lovers of money, love themselves, boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, I know that one, ungrateful, consider nothing sacred, unloving, unforgiving, and slanderous, and no self-control. I know each and every one of them. I practice each and every one of those things. That's the fruits of my selfishness and the things that come from my own thinking and ways of this world. This is very easy to understand. Everyone knows about this stuff. So we need to know that. But we need to know that when he talks about the difficult times, Timothy, he's talking about the bad decisions we're making. That we're sowing in the wrong field. Why are we sowing into the flesh? Is what it is. And these are the characteristics of this world we walk in. The end times, guess what? The end times started 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on a cross. These are the end times. This is it. This is the church age. We need to operate in the spirit because we don't have much time. What it is. I mean, we got a bunch of people out there right now this is what gets me the most. They act religious, but they will reject the power of God. And these people they're talking about are in the church. They're sitting on the right of you, the left of you, in the pews. They're the ones doing the outreach with you. They're the ones in the revivals. No offense to anyone. That's the way this is written. So it says stay away from people like that. That's what's, you know, when you have to have discernment. I believe we still have to try to help people like that as well.
Oh, sure.
You know, I'm not going to – yeah, we address the issues if we see something wrong. But this is what they're talking about. They're actually religious. These people, they're cardboard Christians. They're fakes. They're the imposters, the imposers. They're the ones that will wear the T-shirt and have the key ring, you know, the fish and all that. They'll be la la, yeah, yeah, rah, rah, rah. They're probably the one that's most loud and obnoxious in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing is this, and I've been that person, trust me. So I'll talk about it. You know, rah, rah, look at me. I'm the big Jesus fan. Look at my shirt. It's got the fish on it. I got the keychain, the bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Woo! I go to church on Sunday and every other Wednesday. I've been in the prison preaching with those guys. Yeah, it don't matter what you do for God. Your relationship better be right. Your heart better be right.
It's all about the relationship. That's all about the relationship.
Look, here it is. You know what happens? That they will act religious. They'll have a form of religion. This is what gets me also. That form of religion is our double-mindedness. This is where we think that we have a play or a say in how we're going to walk out our salvation. Man, look, you ain't the head coach. None of us are. Jesus Christ is the one in charge. We make up our own play. We don't know what's going to happen. We're going to suffer consequences.
Well, if you're making up your own play, you're probably not in the Word. But if you're in the Word, the Word tells us what will happen. It leads to death. I mean, we just read it. A man's way seemed right to him, but that way leads to destruction and death. And you know, we've all been there. And, you know, I mean, I know I was. Man.
I thought I was a Christian until I became one.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
I really
the truth, man.
And there's so many people, man, and I don't know about the rest of the world, but in America, man, it's just like the statistics are 78% of Americans claim to be Christian. Let me say that again. 78% of Americans claim to be Christian. Our country would not be in the state it's in if 78% of Americans were Christian.
Oh, man, we'd be
simple as that.
Out.
Jesus said that you know a tree by its fruit.
You better believe it, yeah. That's, again, what seeds you planted, because your tree is going to come to bear fruit eventually. So we all got a seed in the ground. Where we sow in it, what field? Because this field that we sow into will be the field that we will reap from for eternity. So where are you sowing? Which field? Which pasture? Who's your shepherd? Who's leading you? Because we make foolish decisions until we come to get our minds washed by the word of God. And it seems so right, too. I thought I had it right. I thought I had that form of religion. I thought I could go out from Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock when the service let out. I get to the brunch, with the all-you-can-drink mimosas and get ready. And I'd grab a bag of cocaine, whatever, get an early night in. I'd sin from Sunday, 2 o'clock, till next Saturday night, till, 4 in the morning. But I'd get to church. So I thought that I could sin all week, 40 hours of sin, but 1 hour in the church service and a 5-minute confession and a 50 or 100 bucks, depending on how much I sinned and how much I could afford, I put the money in that box. I thought I'd buy my salvation.
Come on now.
It don't work that way. It's a free gift. Woo! Free. Okay? All we have to do is dedicate ourselves. You need to give your heart to Jesus.
Yeah. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes." The key is that word believe means to be committed to and to follow. So that's a key. We got to get out of this watered down, Christianity where, you just say a prayer and that's it. I mean, that's what I did. 13 years old, I said a prayer, got baptized, and nothing changed.
Come on, man.
You know what?
But thank God at 48 years old, it did. Hallelujah.
Whoever led you that prayer
and took over.
Whoever led you that prayer. We got other Christians running around teaching the wrong doctrine. We need to, that's why when it says don't be fooled in the last verse, don't be misled. There's so many people out there that are running around with the t-shirt and giving out the bracelets. Here, thank you, welcome to heaven. I was that person too until I come to know the truth. Don't take anyone's word for it. Back it up. I don't care if the Pope came down. Even it don't matter who tells you. You better back it up with yourself. There's not a thing I've heard that it piqued my interest. And then I had to look it up and figure it out, either right or wrong, either to agree and witness and confirm the truth behind it or debunk it. You understand?
Yeah.
That's what we kind of got to do. Good morning, Mike Mullahy, 114.
And, when we talk about how God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, it's that grace that empowers us. Mm-hmm. Grace is not, Paul said, God forbid, grace is not so we can sin more and have more grace. It's when we humble ourselves that he gives us more grace. And humbling ourselves is simply doing it God's way, not our own.
Man,
our ways lead to death.
That's right. What are you thinking? What? Don't you realize what we just read in Proverbs? Write this down. I don't care. Write it on your hand or your arm. It's Proverbs 14:12. There's many ways that seem right to us, but guess what? They're going to lead to death. Don't be misled. Don't follow your own opinions or thoughts or what you believe Christianity is, because it's not about our beliefs need to come from the word of God, the truth.
Yes.
If our beliefs aren't, if truth is not planted in our heart, our belief system's going to grow weeds, and it's going to grow astray, and it's going to be growing, instead of pure, things of God, it's going to be growing whatever, weeds and, hemp and marijuana, whatever, cocoa plant, I don't know. You're not going to have the right seed in the ground, and you're going to produce a harvest of bad fruit. And you're going to end up being the guy who's disobedient. You're going to be cruel. You're going to find a church that's going to agree with your doctrine. Our doctrine's futile and nonsense unless it is backed up by the word of God.
That's
you
right.
Better get in the word, because if you don't, you will be misled. And you're going to end up, the power of God will set you free. The Holy Spirit inside of you will lead you into all truth.
And that's the only way.
Don't create your own plan. That's that religious system. Get away from it. Run far as possible. You're better off hanging out in a strip club every night. At least you know you're messed up. But then you're going to get into a church that's going, ooh, okay, I feel comfortable. I get goosebumps. They gave me a t-shirt. They gave me a calendar. Ooh, they invited me to a potluck. Guess what? You're all on the fast track to hell because you're following a religious doctrine that's created by man. You're feeling good about it. It doesn't always rub you the right way with the things of God. But once you come to accept it, it'll stretch you. It's the pruning. And if you're not getting pruned, you're growing wild. Okay? You're growing wild. A good church, Bible-based church, will prune you back.
Yeah.
Prune you back in a season. so you could come into the next season bearing more fruit. Okay, so we need to know that.
Well, you know, Jesus said, yeah. You know, because people say, well, you just come as you are, and that's the truth. You come as you are, but Jesus don't want you staying as you are.
You can't.
He told the woman caught in adultery. Here's what some of the religious systems will do. They're like, if it was a woman caught in adultery, they'll say, we don't condemn you. And that will be the end of it. But Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more.
That's right.
He's not going to tell you go and sin no more if he's not going to empower you to do it. That's the Holy Spirit that empowers us.
These cardboard Christians, we used to have a saying in New York, that's a cardboard gangster. Everybody thought they were gangster. My uncle and my daddy is a gangster in New York, some Italian last name. They were cardboard gangsters. They were the wannabes. You know
Texas,
what I mean?
We call them drugstore cowboys.
Yeah. Come on now. So these cardboard gangsters, these St. Guido people, this is the cardboard Christians. These people are running around, and just again, you can see a cardboard replica of them. Of whoever it may be, you can put a cardboard of me. It's not the real thing. It's going to blow over in the wind. It's going to get burned in the fire. You know what I mean? So here's the thing. We need to be real, and we got to check. And I'm not here trying to point a finger at anyone. I'm encouraging you to check yourselves. This list right here in Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. If you have anything remotely resembling to any of these fruits or any of these ways, you got to start purging.
Yeah.
Purging.
And it's the works of the flesh.
Yeah. Come on now. Get it right.
The Bible says the works of the flesh are evident.
Yeah, they are. Go into Galatians 5. You're going to see
that. I was telling the, I don't know if it was at the prison or not when I was preaching. No, I was telling that could have been my rap sheet.
Well, here's the thing.
Works of the flesh.
This was my Facebook profile 10 years ago. All right? Or 4 years ago. I would have just copied and pasted 2 Timothy. I'm a man that loves myself and my money. I'm disobedient, I'm proud, I'm boastful, I don't obey my parents, never did, I'm ungrateful, I consider nothing sacred, and I slander others on a regular basis. Let's have another beer. I'll pay for it, and I'll slander you after I pay your bar bill tonight.
And just like Paul, just like me, Jesus knocked you off of that high horse, and you saw the resurrected Jesus Christ, and nothing's ever been the same.
Man, I'm come on now, that's it. Hallelujah. Here's the thing.
My wife. Good morning, honey.
Boom. When you run into Jesus Christ, it's like running into a brick wall 10 times over. And you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get touched. And you're going to wake up and you're going to be like, what happened, huh? You're going to look at yourself. You're going to wonder if you're still the same person. Sometimes I look at myself and I say, I'm not even the same person I was yesterday. You know, God is constantly.
I mean, when you think about what Paul happened when he got knocked off that horse, and he saw the resurrected Jesus. I mean, he from then on, he considered all those accomplishments in the flesh to be dumb, is what the Bible says. It was just, there's nothing else, because he saw the resurrected Jesus, and he wasn't living for now anymore. He had eternity in his heart, and he was never the same. You know, and that's what it is. I mean, we got to realize this life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow, eternity's forever. You know, and where we spend eternity and how we spend eternity. I mean, you can be a Christian, and I'm telling you, you're still, Jesus said, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves come in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And the treasures in heaven are people. That's why we're doing this show. I mean, we're not, the Word of God is going to chisel hearts and, you know, chisel our hearts. And the hearts are going to be soft and pliable to receive with meekness his implanted word, which is able to save our soul.
We need to know that the church is, you know, a lot of us, these seeker-friendly churches, all right? Well, freaker-friendly churches, I don't know, whatever you want to call them. All right, so here it is. You're going to walk in because, these seats are fancy. You got a big sound system, and you feel comfortable when you first walk in the door. And you like, once you put your butt down on the seat, it's not too comfortable. They got a coffee shop, Hebrews, or something that. They got a magazine rack with Christian magazines. They got nice bathrooms. Guess what? You need to find a place that cares about the word. It's a commitment versus a comfort. A lot of us are trying to feel comfort in our Christianity. It's a commitment, Christianity, not a comfort. God will comfort us and give us commitment first. first, and the comfort will follow.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that, you know, people, we're to be Christ-like, and
yeah, we are.
You know, people come to church to get. Okay. Jesus said, "I came to serve, not to be served." If you want to be like Jesus, you need to come to church to serve. Get plugged in and see how you can be a benefit. Christians are not supposed to be a hindrance. We're not supposed to be a liability. We're supposed to be an asset. And that's what everybody's got it all convoluted, thinking that we come to church to get.
Yeah.
But you need to come to church to serve.
I'll tell you right now, don't think that you finally found the church you've been looking for because they accepted you in your sin as you are. Yeah, come as you are in your sin, but I promise you one thing. You show up to my church, Crosswalk, and you're around guys like me and Pastor Bobby and Pastor Eric that are in the, and Rick Pope and whoever's in the Word that know better, that been through the fire, that been refined. We're going to walk with you, and we're going to show you the way of God. We're not going to pat you on the back and say, oh, it's okay. You just did a bump before you came in the room. Oh, you matter of fact, you just smoked some crack in the bathroom. Oh, let's sit down with us. We'll go pray for you. We'll do an altar call special for you. No, we're going to tell you, hey, man, that's not acceptable.
And we're not going to give you our opinion because it's like this. If you come in like that, it would be like somebody laying out in the middle of that street in a drunken stupor. If you went over there and said, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, we love you. No, that you're going to drag him out of the street. And it's the same thing with this. If you love, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And it also says that if you turn a sinner from the error of his ways, covers a multitude of sins. That's what true love is, turning a sinner from the error of his ways, not patting them on the back.
You know what a secret friend in the church is like? Somebody come running in on fire, and they pour gasoline on him and let him burn in a corner and don't even put him out till the end of the service because they're too busy talking their doctrine. We need to be able to help people. We can't force it on you because if God can't force it on you, but guess what? If people didn't come to me, like the people in the church, when I was still had some things that weren't right and I was believing a lie, they had to teach me. They showed me in the Bible where it was, and it changed my ways. It's a constant navigation in this. Yeah. It's a work. We're works in progress, and we have to show up to the classroom, I guess, right?
Yeah.
To the master.
And Renee just put, if you need help, please reach out. And that's if you're out there and you're in a bad spot or whatever, reach out to us. I mean, we'll walk with you through it. I mean, you know, we're not going to pat you on the back and say it's okay and let you walk off of a cliff. We're going to walk with you, and we're going to show you what God did in our lives because I'm telling you, I was so messed up. I didn't know the end from the beginning. I mean, I was so messed up. Bound up in drugs and alcohol, bound up so bad that I, you know, I haven't shared this with a lot of people. I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to end it. That's how bad I was bound up. I knew I could not quit. But I'm telling you, when I cried out to the Lord, he set me free. And he'll do the same for anybody. He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Fowler. How you doing, brother? Love you, too.
Keep it moving. I'm on scripture, but we squeezed that second key. I mean, Second Timothy, we squeeze that one good. Go in and study that chapter. God will reveal to you personally, through his Holy Spirit, what that means to you. And you'll know. See, I can't convince you. Bobby can't convince you. We can tell you that smoking dope in the bathroom during the church service is wrong, but you need to receive it and be the conviction. But, you know, and do's and don'ts. So God will lead you into all truth.
Yeah, let me say something real quick about this scripture here. You know, about the selfies and everything. Another thing about being Christ-like, Jesus, the Bible says, made himself of no reputation. And that's complete opposite of selfies. He made himself of no reputation. And if we want to be like Jesus, we need to do that as well.
All right, so we're going into 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 to 11. And this is good stuff here. So write this down and study yourself. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. That's a very profound and bold promise. We can escape the world corruption and share in his divine nature. So I'm going to keep reading. But here's the thing. Go into this and meditate on that because we have an opportunity to escape the world's corruption and share and participate in his divine nature. But here it is. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. So we have the opportunity to share in his in his divine nature and participate with his promises that he's given us, okay? But make every effort to respond. So we have to get involved. We could know about these promises. We can know about his divine nature. But guess what? We're keeping it on the shelf. We're not walking it out. We're not getting involved. We're not studying the word. We're not going into the church. We're not doing these things. We're just being believers, and that's enough. That's not enough to believe Christ is Lord, because the devil believes Christ is Lord. We need to be disciples. Carry our cross. Every day, it's something. Die to self daily. This is a daily thing, okay? So we need to know that. We need to supplement our faith, it says, with a provision, generous provision of moral excellence with knowledge, knowledge with self-control with patience, patience with endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. These are seven fruits that will come when you're committed to God. Not just a believer, but a disciple, a one that's truly seeking after the things of God. And it says, and this is the most important part, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop this way are short-sighted and blind. Okay, we're going to be more productive when we get increasing knowledge. When we know what God wants us to do. We can't be in God's plan or purpose if we're ignorant to his word. The only way we're going to understand what he called us here for is to walk in his ways, and we need to be the renewing of the mind, the active seeking, and going chasing after. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really amongst those God has called and chosen. Here it is, another warning. Work hard. That doesn't mean don't show up or don't put any effort in. Work hard, you know? So this is the things you need to do.
That's in the Bible. Work hard. I'm just kidding. I'm being sarcastic in case you didn't notice.
Work hard. I mean,
a lot of people say that, you know, well, it's not about works. Salvation is not about works. You know, the Bible says it's nothing that we do can get saved. But once we're saved, it is about work. And he gives us, it says before that he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So he gives us everything we need to work out our own salvation, but we have to be diligent and not half-hearted.
These precious promises come through relationship. They're not because it's a free gift, but guess what? You want a gift, you better show up. If everyone hit the lotto, but they don't cash the ticket, what does it matter anyway? So it's the same thing. We received God as our Savior and our Lord, but we didn't show up to cash in on the promises, the blessings, because guess what? We knew when we tried to get into those promises and blessings, they might have pruned us back or told us we had to change something we were doing or a way that we were thinking. Tough luck, you know? We need to do it, okay? We need to do it. So the promise is the remission of sins. And if that's not good enough, then he gives you the Holy Spirit to guide you and give you the power to rebuke sin and to not be a slave to sin. We need to grow. As we respond, we will grow in the faith. Okay.
Yeah, the thing about it, when he says he gives us all things, when God gives us, he doesn't just throw us out here and expect us to walk. Just like Jesus said, go and sin no more. He gives us the power of his Holy Spirit. He gives us his word. You know, he tells us to pray in the Spirit to build up our most holy faith. Mm-hmm. One of the pieces of armor is to pray always in the Spirit. So he gives us those things that we are to do. It's you know, it's our responsibility to do those things to build up our faith that we can walk in this world. This world's corrupt, but it says that we can escape the corruption that's in this world.
Well, guess what? Some of us, the unfortunate thing is they don't want to escape because, you know, the one of the things I've come to learn is more than 1,000 people personally I've asked in the streets that were homeless, addicted, and caught up in things, to come into the discipleship homes that we have. We have many discipleship homes from here, Fort Worth, Azle, everywhere. If anyone's out there and they're homeless, they're struggling with addiction or just want to get right with God, these places will take you for free. They'll feed you, they'll house you, they'll clothe you,
disciple you.
They'll disciple you in the word of God. And man, you can't never leave. You will not leave the same. So here it is. But out of 1,000 people, maybe 5, less than 10.
Yeah.
10, less than 10 people. I was able to bring. Yeah. I thought when I first got those flyers, I was like, "Woo! I'm going to clean up the streets. Everyone's going to be off the street." No one wants to change. Change comes within. It's a conscious effort and choice. First, it's a choice. Then there's a big effort behind it. So you need to get it right. What was
you know, this was, I don't remember when this was. It was probably over a year. We were at Sylvania Park, and we were preaching the gospel. And this guy came up to me, and I told him, you know, I know a place I can take you right now and get you off the streets. You know, they feed you good. I mean, just everything. And he said, no. He said, I don't, you know, I'm not going to stay 6 months. This guy's still on the streets.
Yeah, no kidding. See, there's just, I'm going to go to a commercial after this, but here the thing is, we must work hard. That's what Bobby said. They work hard, and Bobby, yes. If we don't work hard, then what are we going to do? We're going to get worked over. So here it is. Stay in Jesus. Be led by the Spirit, not our ways. Because we could fall away. The Bible says it more than once. It says right here, do these things and you will never fall away. Okay? We need to prove that we're really in the faith. How are we going to prove it? Because we're going to be in the Word of God. It's going to line up the things we're doing. So,
and understand
right
that the Bible says that there's going to be a great falling away.
Yeah.
You can't fall away from something that you've never been a part of. So understand, Christians, that don't let your guard down. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and just keep your, you know, do what the Bible says. Use those tools that he gives us. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we just need to use it.
All right, here's a commercial break again. We're in a house of glory. That's where we start off. Again, we want to welcome you to the Mansion Studios. This is where we do our shows. There's shows every day.
Don't let me lose my way. I'm going to shout your name, hallelujah. Hey.
Ministry and mentored me. Well, he was telling me that Kroger has an app that you can Any money you spend at Kroger can be sold into the ministry. You have to set it up. He's going to show me all that. But and he was just telling me all different ways.
You choose the ministry you want to sell to?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, okay. I just talked to him this morning. Oh. I was at the gym working out when he called me.
We'll find out more.
Yeah, we're going to get together. He's going to tell us. But, yeah, email me at bobbypm@yahoo.com. And now that we have our 501c3, anything sown into the ministry is tax deductible.
Yes. That's all.
And
okay.
It's very fruitful. I mean, we were all there Saturday night.
Woo!
Four men gave their life to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I want to just say this. We make sure that we don't tell them it's just about a prayer. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. But we talk about repentance. We preach repentance and remission of sin.
Yeah.
You have to turn away from your sin. It's not just about a prayer. So it's a very fruitful ministry if anyone would like to sow into it.
So we do it on the first Saturday. Every other second Saturday, people ask them when we do it.
We're going to Cofield this Saturday.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I mean, the best way to know, if you want to know more about it and you're truly interested in getting involved, just contact any one of these. And if you're watching the show, you can hear this voice. You can just text message that person, the video you're watching, and we'll get the message. If you're interested, we'll be more than happy to text us.
We have several opportunities. We go in 10 to 15 times a month. So there's plenty of opportunities, and we've kind of been turning some down. But if we have more faithful Christians that want to go in, we have plenty of opportunities.
Right, we got two scriptures left. Let's try to get through them. We got about 10 minutes. But John, do you want to read John first? Yeah. And we're back from the commercial. If you haven't noticed, Facebook, Blog Radio, welcome back.
John 16. Yeah. Starting in verse 10, the Bible says, this is Jesus talking, righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring glory to me, glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and this is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit of God is what, in Ezekiel, God said, I will put my Spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways. And you know, one of the tools we were talking about, how God gives us all things, is Paul said, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We need to continually be filled with the Spirit. If you're in ministry and you're out ministering, you need to continually be filled because you can't give away what you don't have.
Yes.
And you have to continually be filled. You're filled with the Spirit of God by the Word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. The Word of God and the Spirit of God, by praying in the Spirit, will fill you up. That way you can give out. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen.
Well, yeah, and the basic thing with this scripture that I want to point out for sure, and Bobby, I'm sure, is the fact that he said there's much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. See, the thing is this: we can't understand things unless we're filled with the Spirit. So when we're going to try to make sense of these words here without the Holy Spirit, good luck. You might, who knows? I don't know. Maybe that's the Baptist. I don't know. But the thing is, you'd be too sharp in the word, but you need a balance. The Spirit has to lead you into all truth. So here it is. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. So that's the thing. To even believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, you need the Holy Spirit to touch you. Because who is going to believe it, okay? You can't. So he wanted to share a lot of things with the apostles. They couldn't bear it. And that's the thing going on here. A lot of the reason why people are falling away or not getting into that next level of Christianity, that deeper intimacy with the Lord, it's because they're not led by the Spirit. They don't get Spirit-filled. They think it's okay. You know, we need to get led by the Spirit. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you have the Spirit inside of you. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that overcame this world for us. So we need to understand that God's will and his plan for us. But the only way it's going to happen is we have the Spirit of God in us.
Yeah. And the Spirit, you know, one thing that I do personally is before I read my Bible, I pray and I ask the Spirit to enlighten the words. You know, I just tell him, Holy Spirit, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Make this Word living and powerful to my spirit. And I'm telling you, God is a good God, man. He wants to show us things. And all we have to do is ask. You know, be filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will enlighten the Word of God to you. It's not just a book.
Here it is. He will tell you about the future. Okay, God will give you revelation if we pray. The Holy Spirit will lead us. He'll show us things that we need to do. Okay, like God will tell you to get involved in the prison ministry. That's the future, because right now you're not involved in the prison ministry. But the Holy Spirit will lead you to things in the future. So it's not like a fortune teller or a crystal ball. I can see your future. No, he's going to tell you, I want you to pursue a Bible college, or I want you to go to this church. These are things that you don't even see yet, but it's in the future. Future things have come.
Yeah, but the thing is, what you really have to understand is the Word of God is if you know, I heard somebody say, well, you know, I never hear the voice of God. Well, open your Bible and read it out loud, because the Word of God and the Spirit of God are one. And there's so many of us that try to get it all messed up and act like it's different. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God are one. And when you have the Spirit of God in you, He reveals His Word to you. It's like anxiety. The word anxiety is fearful or being fearful or nervous about what might happen. We don't have to be fearful or nervous about what might happen when we can know what will happen through God's Word. You have to get in His Word. God's not going to just speak to you. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, diligently search out and investigate God and watch what He does. That's where you'll get your revelation.
All right. We're going to close with this scripture. And it's right here in Romans. Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 5, we start. Those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. There's another warning. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. All right? So here it is. When you are not controlled, let's go to verse 9. When you are not controlled by your sinful nature, you are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. So here it is. It's real simple. We make more of it than what it is. There's two paths, okay? One, two. There's, you're following the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, or you're in bondage to the system of this world. You're in rebellion to your sinful nature, your flesh. There's two paths. There's the right way to salvation through God, His plan, and only through His plan, or there's the salvation that we think is through the ways of this world and the devil. So there's a falseness, but there's only one way to God and through salvation. So our simple nature is rebellion and it's bondage, and the Spirit-led nature is obedience and freedom in Christ and salvation in heaven, not separated from God.
That's it. There's just only two ways. Jesus said, you know, you're of your father the devil, or God's your father. There's no in between. And the Spirit of God living in you is what's going to reveal what we need to do, what path to take. And it's like I said a while ago, Jesus said that there's a wide gate, there's a wide path, and that's the way of the world. And then there's that narrow path, and that's the way of God. There's only two paths that you can take. And, you know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word of God. So if you want to be led by the Spirit of God, you better hide His Word in your heart, and then the Spirit of God, because you'll know. Because the devil, we said this a while back, you know, whose voice are you listening to? The devil's going to continue talking. But if you don't have the Word of God hidden in your heart, you're not going to know that voice as well. But to be led by the Spirit of God, you have to know His voice. Jesus said you'll know that His sheep will know His voice and follow Him.
Well, here it is. 50 seconds, Blog Radio. Thank you for tuning in. But here it is. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is in your life, ask Him to reveal it to you. It's way more than a prayer. You know, start with prayer, but it's about a relationship. Call on the Lord. And get yourself into a Bible. Find the Bible, call us, we'll send you a Bible, it don't matter. But find yourself a church too, or people who truly believe in the Word of God and are following Jesus. So that's what it is. You don't want to follow somebody that's not following Jesus. They're just a bunch of cardboard Christians. So you need to get with the real deal. You can't be, mess with counterfeit,
And you know, the whole thing we're talking about is doing things our way versus doing things God's way. The Bible says that faith works by love, and faith works by us knowing how much God loves us and believing that he knows what's best for us, and he wants what's best for us, and he's able to do what's best for us. If we don't believe that God wants what's best for us, we're not going to trust him. Faith and trust are the same thing. And we're not going to trust him if we don't believe that he loves us, he wants what's best for us, he knows what's best for us, and he's able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine. But it is by the power that works in us. And I'm telling you, you know, when Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would